from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the 3-2 pitch, swing and a bouncing ball, slowly hit. Sosa charges, gloves, transfers, throws, he got him. Ball game's over, and the Phillies come from behind and beat the Braves in the opening game of this big four-game series. Two late homers, one for Marsh, one for Castellanos, and the Phillies bullpen with a 5-4 win.
What a win last night for the Phillies. Welcome on Answer Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets your Brooke. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us. It's a tri-day Friday. We got a lot to get to, including the Eagles. 1 week from tonight, start their season against the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, everybody. It's the last weekend of summer. Please be safe. Like, seriously, all jokes aside, just please be safe. It's a lot going on. It's a lot that happens around this time, so just be safe.
Very good advice, Hugh. Good advice for everyone out there on a Labor Day weekend. And we start this morning after maybe the win of the year. I mean, that was an incredible victory. They've had a few of these kind of games where they pull out at the end or they find a way. But, Hugh, last night wasn't just a game. It was the Atlanta Braves. And there were a lot of people yesterday. I mean, we had some callers saying it was a must win. They were out on the Phillies. Someone told us they were rooting for the Braves now. I mean, people were losing their minds after the Taijuan Walker debacle a couple days ago. But the Phillies got back to what they were doing and what they have been doing, which is playing good baseball outside of the Taijuan Walker starts. For a little while now, the Phillies have been back for a while. They're playing good baseball again. And last night, Hugh, was one of those pivot points of the season because let's just call it for what it is. If they had lost that game last night, you know what we would have come in here to today. Panic.
Oh, yeah. Everybody would have been in their feelings. It would have been one of those things where the season's over. There would have been people that have really – they had really been in their feelings this morning, no question.
The lead would have been down to six. Instead, it's – no, excuse me, it went down to four. Instead, it is six. The Phillies would have only been up in this division by four games with three to play this weekend, and it was trending that way because the Braves, Charlie Morton was shutting them down early. The offense was doing nothing. And then, Hugh, the Phillies woke up, and they woke up in a way – that we're not used to as much this season, right? Because we always talk about it's got to be Schwarber, it's got to be Harper, it's got to be Turner. Now, yesterday was the middle and the bottom of the order. Sixth inning last night, Brandon Marsh at the plate against Charlie Morton, and Brandon Marsh delivered his biggest hit of the season.
1-0. And a swing and a high fly ball left center field up the alley. Harris going back to the track, looking up. It's gone! And he's done it again! Brandon Marsh! With a three-run home run to the opposite field. And it's a ball game again as the Phillies are down a run. It's 4-3.
It was a ball game again. I was surprised Snicker let Morton face Marsh for a third time there as a righty against a lefty. He had a lefty warming. I was actually shocked he let him do it. Hits the ball out to left field. Boom, we've got a ball game. And then one inning later, as the Phillies got back in it, the bullpen took over. And Nick Castellanos up to the plate and does what Nick has been doing now for better part of 2 months, which is just come up big in big spots.
Holmes kicks and deals, and the pitch swung on, driven to center. It's deep. Harris is back at the track, at the wall. It's gone into the hedges, and Castellanos has turned the game around with a two-run home run here in the bottom of the seventh inning. It is his 19th of the season. 5-4 Phillies.
See, and that's why you say you're sorry, Hugh, because Nick Castellanos comes up with big hits like that. Hugh, last night, Marsh and Castellanos, right? It wasn't Turner, wasn't Harper, wasn't Schwarber. It was those guys in the middle and towards the bottom of the order. They won that game with two swings.
Oh, no question about that, man. And shout out to Nick Castellanos for coming into his own and having a stellar 2 months. But he's doing his job, so he doesn't get an apology.
Well, he gets flowers today.
Oh, he gets his flowers. Yeah. I give him his flowers. I ain't saying I'm sorry. Too late to apologize.
I don't know. A lot of people last night were saying, get Hugh to say he's sorry.
No, not only were they saying it to you, they were DMing me. Talking about you need to apologize.
You do.
And I didn't say anything. Listen, most times when I see your DMs, I see them. I don't respond because I'm too busy laughing.
It seems like you're gearing up for an apology.
I know.
I'm too busy laughing. But I respect you. And I appreciate you listening to the show. I really, really do. That means a lot to us.
You know what I appreciate?
And I ain't apologizing.
Yeah, I appreciate Brandon Marsh and Nick Castellanos last night. Big, big, big home runs. The Phillies closed it down. And here's where I'm at with the Phillies. With the win last night, now back up sixth in the division, they really could bury the Braves this weekend. They take two of three more and push this thing to seven in the division with no more head-to-head games left. This thing is a wrap in the NL East. They've regained my trust, Hugh, because it was choppy. It was actually a week ago. Last Friday, as they went to enter that series against the Royals, we talked here on the Midday Show about if you're losing hope or not. And now, a week later, they've regained my trust. That was an impressive weekend. Last weekend against the Royals, they took two out of three against the Astros. They're off to a good start against the Braves. They're doing exactly what we asked. And here's what really is striking me this morning. Yes, Marsh, Castellanos, big home runs, big hits. That's all wonderful. You know what has returned? They're starting pitching. If you take away the Taiwan starts, right? Taiwan doesn't count. And by the way, they took him out of the rotation finally yesterday. He's out. Okay. If you take away the Taiwan starts, the last 10 games started by Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, Suarez. That's about two week span here.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 2.03 ERA from those starting pitchers. They're pitching again
at the beginning.
In the beginning of the season. They've regained my trust. Hugh, are the Phillies, have they regained your trust after a couple of tough months?
I feel better about this team, much better than I did Monday. Because, you know, Monday I was a little bit leery of this squad. But as the day's progressing, I've seen how they're playing. And not only that, your boy Nick Castellanos, his press conferences for me,
they're the best.
Yeah, because, like I said, Clifford Franklin, that's when I see him with his hat on and his confidence, it's obvious that he's gotten his confidence back. And that's a big thing, especially around this time of the year, Joe. You're talking about we got a month left in the season,
mm-hmm.
if that. It's one of those things where that's what you want to see from your team when it's playoff time. We're getting close to playoff time. You want to see that confidence start to build. You want to see this pitching staff start to do exactly what it's doing, getting back to what they were at the beginning of the season.
28 games to go. So when we get back in here Tuesday after the Labor Day Monday, the Phillies will have 25 games to go. We're coming down the stretch now. And this is the weekend. I mean, this for the Braves have any chance to take this division back. They need at least 3 out of 4. And now that's, you know, obviously they're in a big hole because they lost the first one. For the Phillies now, you know, we talked yesterday, a split could really be okay because it's just chopping off games and time off the calendar, and the Braves don't have any more games against the Phillies after this weekend. But if the Phillies can get 3 out of 4 or sweep the Braves, this thing is a wrap before Memorial Day. 215-592-9494. Kyle, how you feeling this morning as Castellanos and Marsh come up big? The bullpen does the job. Have the Phillies regained your trust?
So remember when I threw in the towel?
Yes.
And then I picked it back up, but I still had it in my hand. It's going back into the back pocket.
Oh,
the towel
wow.
is stuffed into the back pocket. I'm back in fully. They've regained my trust, mainly because of how the pitching staff's pitching. Like, I know Sanchez lit up a couple bombs to Matt Olson. That's a rare thing, not something I expect to see Sanchez do often. But really, like, the bullpen came in and was nasty. Like, lights out. That reminded me of the April, May, you know, early June Phillies. Because let's be realistic about the offense right now. They still only scored by hitting home runs last night. And none of them came from Harper, Turner, Schwarber, or even Alec Boehm, who was injured. Like, so that's something that I still think is going to come around by the time the playoffs start. But what was killing us during that big slump was that everything was going bad at the same time. When no one would hit, the pitching staff was also letting up some bad, like, poorly timed home runs. The pitching staff is now at a spot, like, it's back to that spot where they can carry the offense through colder streaks. And I don't necessarily think the offense is, like, totally broken out of it. They're not on that, like, six run per game pace that Hugh was talking about earlier on in the season.
I feel attacked.
Well, you shouldn't. It'll be okay. I think the offense will start to, like, get back at least closer to that pace by the end of the season when those guys get going. But as of right now, man, the bullpen is lights out. And, like, they're going, that's the reason that I believe that this team can win the World Series again is because they have lights out pitching.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the bullpen because last night they did the job too. Because that game, I mean, they didn't get any insurance runs there, right? They needed to shut it down there when it got to 5-4, and they had Kirkering, who's pitched really well lately. Strom, who's gotten big outs all year, and I loved Hoffman finishing the game. Hoffman's got ice in his veins. I'm a big Hoffman guy.
And who was that? Your boy was up there at the plate at the end.
Merrifield. Boy. Yeah, he's not Merrifield. My boy. Not wasn't anymore.
Now, be honest. Because of what happened, transpired the last time we were in that situation, was everybody a little nervous?
No.
When Witt was up there?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Because we had Hoffman pitching.
Okay.
If it was Estevez, I'd be a little worried.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because he's like a tightrope walker.
Yeah, he's a roller coaster up there. Now, I wasn't nervous. And to the point on the pitching, the bullpen's been better. And so Sanchez gave 4 runs last night. That's the most runs any Walker starter has given up in 2 weeks here. Here are the runs allowed by Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, and Sanchez over the last 2 weeks. 1-0, 1-2, 2-3, 1-2, 0-2, 4. I mean, it's been really good pitching now for a while. This was the formula early in the season. Good pitching, some power, a deep lineup. The Phillies have regained my trust. How about you? 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. On a Friday, a Labor Day weekend Friday, as the Phillies are off to a good start against the Braves. Chris, good morning, buddy.
Happy Fransky Football Friday, man.
Happy Friday.
Chris, it's our last Friday without football, but we got college last night. We're back now. Now it's the best time of the year.
Joe, football starts tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Penn State versus West Virginia University.
You locking up a win here? You guaranteeing a win? What do you think?
Stone cold lock.
Okay.
I don't know, man. X-Men, well, not X-Men, but young Trotter out there, he might have something to say about that. Josiah.
Mm-mm. Nope. Love the Trots, but tomorrow, no, they're the enemy. No respect to you.
No, I got you. I got you, man. Yeah, Penn State, I know. Yeah.
We are.
I'm not, but you are. Yeah. that was not me. That was Kyle. By the way,
yeah, I know it is. Kyle loves Penn State. He's a diehard. Hey, Kyle, the jersey's in the mail. Hey guys, let's get to this Phillies team. You guys hit it all on the head. The pitching is back to their dominance, and it's not that the pitching is pitching over their head. They are just this good. These starters are that good. Guys, we used to talk about the four aces back in the day. We got the four aces again, okay? They're that good. Our bullpen's lights out. We hit a bump in the road, which you knew eventually was going to happen. They weren't going to have like less than one and less than 1.5 ERAs. But they are what they are. They are around a 2 ERA type of pitchers, which is still ridiculous for Major League Baseball. The fact that the hitting is picking themselves up again, playing like a team. When Harper's off and Realmuto's off and Turner's in a slump, we're still winning games because Marsh is now picking us up. Castellanos is picking us up. There's somebody else there. This is how we won early on, and this is how great teams win. And you know what? We're getting ready to Memorial Day. Hey, Kyle! This team is ready to roll! We are back, baby! Get on board! Blue name again! Here
we go! The red train
is rolling! Woo! Woo! We're getting ready to go to Red October!
It's gonna be a red, red,
red. Whoa!
Billy, Billy!
Let's go! Now that's how to start a holiday weekend, Chris.
Like
that's good stuff. Sounds like the Phillies
are starting to get cold too. It's starting to feel like baseball, football weather, man.
Not am I cold?
Nippy. Cool. A little chilly. Look crisp.
I think it's not.
You know what that means?
I don't know if 75 is crisp.
Pajama time.
I think you're just looking for an excuse to wear pajamas.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Would you consider 75 crisp? No, I think that's nice.
No, it's like 75 here.
Crisp is 57.
No, I'm telling you, Joe, trust me on this. 75 here hits different than 75 in Georgia.
I think,
so to me, this is crisp.
I think it hits different after a summer as opposed to after a winter. Like after a winter 75, you're like, I'm putting a t-shirt on.
Yeah, it does.
But after like a bunch of 90-degree days,
well,
you're like,
a hot summer too.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's cooled down. Now, we're getting closer to football weather and October weather and Philly's playoff weather. John is in West Philly talking Phillies. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good What's morning, up, John.
Listen, I'm probably going to call every time Castellanos hit a bomb, so I don't know, put my name on the show the day after. But I think he's doing this because he heard you, Joe, talking all that trash all the year.
Hopefully he also heard the apology that I gave, but Hugh would not give.
It wasn't good enough. He definitely heard Hugh, though. He's taking it personal or something. So he might.
I mean, as he should. No. I mean, John, listen. If he's gonna, if he doesn't like me, not apologize, and he's playing like he's playing, then guess what I'm gonna do or not gonna do?
You may have to.
I gotta keep it going.
You gotta double down.
Yeah, I gotta double down.
Listen, you might have to be enemies at this point.
Frenemies.
Frenemies.
Yeah, I'm with it, man. Listen, I want to go to a parade, man. The last parade I went to was the one that they had here. Drove all the way up from Georgia to go to a parade. I'm trying to go to another one.
Yeah, well, maybe this time you can tell him, at the end that you was the reason for it and all. You could take a little.
Now a victory lap for Hugh after sitting here the whole time not apologizing? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll owe you after it. But, what I think on the Phillies, I brought back in and stuff, but the thing that I'm waiting to see is how Ranger does over an extended period of time. I really believe that he's like the X factor. I do believe there's something in him with him coming back from the injury and all that. And, the other starters, they may have been, trying to do too much because they know we got to win this game. And, the fourth or fifth game might be a loss. So, they may be trying to overdo it. But I really think that the swagger that Ranger got, the Ranger effect is real. And I just need to see Ranger do good over, two more games, three more games to for me to say that I believe the Phillies are going to the World Series. I really believe he's an X factor.
Yeah, and that's fair. And he'll pitch tonight, John. And look, he pitched well last weekend, but it was only five innings, right? We got to see him come through a bunch of turns. John, we appreciate the phone call. I get that because the pitching really is the key to the whole thing. I mean, that was the key early in the season. It remains. And now they need to keep those guys rolling. But boy, it does help when, and we talked about this about a month ago, it felt like if Harper and Turner and Schwarber didn't hit, they didn't hit. And now Marsh has woken back up, right? Mm-hmm. He's been better the last couple weeks. Castellanos.
That's who you need to apologize to.
To Brandon Marsh?
Yeah, because I was talking about putting him down in
We talked about a two-week reset.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
I'm not apologizing to Brandon Marsh.
Oh, but you want me to apologize to Castellanos?
Yes. Yes. Well, but also, Brandon Marsh, we talk that much about.
I see how this is. We only apologize to certain people.
Well, Castellanos is a little bit more important, I think.
Apologize to Rojas.
For what?
For just being mean and hurtful.
Did he even play last night?
Well, he did come in. Came in the ninth inning. I don't think the ball went to him, did it? I don't think so. No, apologize.
He's got to start playing a little bit more.
You're deflecting.
I'm deflecting.
You want everybody else to.
I'm just saying, if we apologize, it just feels like selective apologies running around.
No,
apologize to Trey Turner.
Sorry, partner.
For what?
for talk about you wish the contract never happened.
He has 38 errors as a Philly.
I'm just saying.
He almost threw the ball into the crowd last night.
I'm just saying. Everything. Apologize since we apologize and since we become that city.
What a deflector we got over here. Apologize. No. Castellanos hit another home run last night to win a game.
Yeah, he did.
That was a hell.
Like, he golfed that day, too.
That was a great swing by Nick Castellanos. Off a righty who throws hard. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop in. If the Phillies regained your trust, they win a big one last night to move the NL East lead to 6 over the Atlanta Braves. Corey in Pottstown is up on WIP. Hey, Corey.
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you today. Real quick, a stat I heard last night. Since 2014, the Phillies were 0-55 against the Braves when they were down at any point by 4 runs. And they came back and won that game. So that now I am back invested in the Phillies since they broke that streak right there.
That is an incredible stat. I saw it too, Corey. I think it was like September of 2014. So we're basically a decade. It's been a decade since the Phillies came back against the Braves down 4 runs in a game. That's a remarkable stat. I know the Phillies were bad for a lot of that, but they've also been good now for the past, 3 years at least, and they never had a comeback against them like that. That's a great stat.
I have 2 points about last night's game that are going to be severely overlooked because of what happened. One is this. Topper has changed his – there's something about what Topper did last night that we would have never seen. 6th inning, he brings Kirkering in. He throws 1 pitch, gets out of the inning, and then comes back to Kirkering. I think if Alvarado was still here, he would have brought Alvarado in for that inning because he never lets a guy sit for a little bit of time and come back and pitch that next inning. So that was a good change of pace by Topper by letting Kirkering come back in that 7th inning. And then the coach from Atlanta, let's be honest, Marsh looked pathetic his first two at-bats against their pitcher. And I think he overthought how good his pitcher looked against Marsh. And then Marsh hit that three-run homer.
Corey, I totally agree. He helped give them the game. I could sit, and he had a lefty warming. He had Aaron Bummer, a lefty warming.
Yes, he did. He had him ready to go.
It's crazy. I mean, we know how bad Marsh has been against lefties. And you know, even if he, I guess he could have brought Weston Wilson in, it could have been that matchup. But whatever. I agree with you. And that's an interesting point you brought up on Kerkering, Corey. It probably is in part because Alvarado's not here. I also think Kerkering's earning more trust. I feel like last night was like almost a little bit of a tryout. Like, can you come back after getting an out, sitting, come back again for the next inning? I think Kerkering's an X factor in October. He's looked good lately.
Because remember, that inning was the inning that they scored the two runs to take the lead. So bringing he showed a lot of trust by letting Kerkering sat for like 13 minutes. So bringing him back in and him striking out two guys in a dominant way he did, That shows a lot from Topper, but that shows the trust that he has in Kerkering. So that was awesome.
Good stuff, Corey. We appreciate the phone call. You're right about that. We got a lot to do on the show today. It's a tri-day Friday. We got to give major credit to one person for that Phillies victory last night. We'll tell you about our prize today. A lot to do on the show. 215-592-9494. We also want to offer our condolences. The story has been out since early this morning. Hugh Johnny Gaudreau, a local NHL player for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He played for the Flames back in the day. Well-known in this area. He and his brother last night tragically lost their lives in an accident. They were riding bikes, and they were struck by a driver in South Jersey. It's an awful story. A lot of people around here knew the Gaudreau family, the hockey players, and it's just very sad. I mean, it's sad no matter who it is, but this is a name that we know, and you know, he's a guy that people have known in this area for a very long time. Very sad story last night.
Yeah, man, and my heart goes out to their family because, like I said, be careful because this is the time where, you know, unfortunate things like this happen. This is around the time where I lost my son last year. And it's one of those things, man, you're never prepared for anything that happens like this. So I beg everybody. I know everybody wants to go out last weekend in summer and they wanna have as much fun as you possibly can, but please be careful. If you're drinking, make sure you do things to keep you from having to drive and things of that nature, man, because I mean it's the worst feeling in the world is to have a holiday like this and have some unfortunate memories that go along with it. For me personally, football season hits different now. It hits a lot different, the start of the football season. So, yeah, just please be careful this weekend.
Our condolences go out to the entire Gaudreau family. Tragic story this morning in South Jersey. We'll come back to your phone calls, and, of course, a lot on the Phillies here. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He was going to go through to Schwarber. You know, if I know he's going to hit a homer, I'd probably take him out. I don't have that luxury. And he's a good matchup for me right there. I like Charlie's breaking ball on him. And then, you know, he popped him up and then Wynn blew it out.
Brian Snicker last night after the game, after the decision to leave Charlie Morton in, certainly helped the Phillies. Brandon Marsh with the home run. Phillies back in the game. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. We'll tell you here in a minute about our prize we're giving away today and how we're going to play on this Friday. But, Hugh, I was surprised last night. Snicker, he was a part of letting the Phillies get back in that game. So that moment in the sixth inning, you have Charlie Morton at about 100 pitches. He had some success earlier in the game against Marsh, but it's his third time through the order. Mm-hmm. We know Marsh can hit lefties. Like, he's bad at it. Mm-hmm. They have a lefty warming in the bullpen, and he let Charlie Morton continue to go there. Now, the Phillies did have Hayes on deck, and Hayes does hit lefties, so maybe he was worried about that. I don't know. I just, when they let Morton stay in that game, I almost thought he gave the Phillies an opening to come back in that game last night.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that. And I know a lot of people in Atlanta, they're a little bit upset about that. You know, I still have some friends down there. And they were kind of upset about the fact that was the case, especially when you talk about, you know, Marsh's inability to hit those lefties. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, hey, man, it's one of those things when you're a manager, because we've seen it with Topper. He's done things in times where we didn't feel like it was the right move to make.
Swallow it, you know, and eat it.
Yeah, you just get caught out there like that.
Well, he did get caught, and the Phillies took advantage of it. And now they have a chance this weekend to bury the Atlanta Braves. 6 up. With 28 to play, 3 this weekend. 215-592-9494. Have the Phillies regained your trust? They have for me. The pitching, the bullpen, the middle and the bottom of the order, it's all there. Now all we got to do over this next month is get that top of the order get going again with Schwarber and Turner and Harper. And then we'll roll into the playoffs. 215-592-9494. All right, before we get back to the phone lines here, you know what today is, right?
Friday.
It's a Friday, which means it's a tri-day. Let's hit it.
It's a tri-day Friday.
It's tri-day, tri-day, Hugh and Joe on Fridays.
All right, we got a great prize today. 1 week from tonight, we're going to be at Lincoln Financial Field for the Eagles-Packers game number one. We'll do the pregame show there, and then we're going to watch the game. You can watch the game from the stadium seats on the big screen. And we have a pair of tickets today to give away to the Eagles' official season kickoff watch party presented by Bud Light at Lincoln Financial Field Friday, December 6th. Kick off the NFL season with us at the Link next Friday. Pair of tickets to give away. All right, it's a tri-day Friday. And we found out Kyle's going down to Virginia this weekend. So why don't we do this? How about we make it a food...
West Virginia, Mountain Mama.
No, just regular Virginia.
Oh, that's no fun.
Why?
Well, Virginia,
I'd rather go to Virginia than West Virginia. What's West Virginia? There's nothing in West Virginia.
No, Virginia has some nice mountains.
You know what's funny? We're in a meeting. And he said...
Virginia.
We're going to Virginia.
And you decided it was West Virginia?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because you don't remember, Kyle. I said, yeah, that's because it's right beside Ohio.
And I was thinking,
you didn't pick up on that?
No, just...
Because I was thinking of West Virginia.
Bad geography.
And that's when I said, hey, go to the mountains.
No, but Virginia has mountains as well.
No, but I was thinking, but see, when he said it, I was thinking, again, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I was thinking West Virginia the whole time.
I've been to both. They're nice states.
Virginia's okay, but West Virginia is better.
A quick tangent. I didn't realize you were a mountains guy, Hugh.
No, listen. I've had
a lot
of...
Well, we know he's not a water guy, right? We know that.
No,
like, Hugh also doesn't like the woods. Like, I just don't...
I don't mind the wood. Like
if you're in a cabin in the woods, you're not walking around in the woods.
At one point, when I was looking for a home in Georgia, I was going to move to the Georgia mountains, but... The only thing that kept me from going is because, number one, I worked in the city way too early. So that means I would have to probably get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's a lot.
Just to get to work on time. Because it was like an hour and a half away from the city. But, man, like some of the homes in the mountains in Georgia, like, because, you know, it all depends on which way you go. You can go to ones towards Tennessee or you can go to ones in like North Georgia or whatever. But, man, I really thought about that. I don't mind, like, the two things that right now at my age – I really don't care about, and one of them is like my personal appearance.
You were raving about buying new pajamas.
Buying some pajamas, yeah. Like I'm at that age now. Where I'm kind of comfortable, like where I am.
Yeah, you letting the bald spot grow?
Getting the bald spot grow back in. So I'm just kind of like, you know, and yeah, I thought about moving to the mountains.
So you're good with being in the woods as long as you're inside.
Yes, as long as I'm inside. As long as I'm in.
Couldn't we
indoors.
Say something about going to the beach? Just stay away from the
I'm
water.
Staying. I'm not getting going to the beach, man. I'm not going.
All right.
To
so today for Tri-Day, it's not about the mountains. Actually, it's about going to food from another state. So Tri-Day, food from another state. You've been there. You've heard about it. A food from another state we should try at some point in our travels. Kyle's going to be in Virginia this weekend. You know, obviously, if people are coming to this area, you're going to tell them to try the different things around here. Cheesesteaks. Yeah, would be probably the biggest one. But there's also a lot of great restaurants. But Tri-Day, food from another state. Kyle's going to be in Virginia, not West Virginia, Virginia this weekend. But, yeah, it's all the same. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Bruce in D.C., who's not in a state. He's in a district, but it's all the same. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you? How's everybody
What's going
doing?
Hey, this? Bruce.
All right. Yeah, so look, man, it's so gloomy today. I guess we're getting ready for that fall weather, man.
I'm ready for it.
Hugh's got pajamas. He's talking about going to the mountains.
I just bought some new slippers, too. I bought some that I can wear to work. They don't look like slippers.
Nice.
Then they're shoes. Nice. They're shoes.
Slippers well, they're kind of like Crocs.
Okay. I'm not sure they're slippers, then.
Yeah, well, I call them slippers.
Okay, that's all right. Go ahead, Bruce.
All right, good deal. Yeah, so look, it was a nice win last night. Look, I've been one of those ones. I could not, you know, because of everything that's been going on with them. It just really just stresses me out, especially when they're not clicking on all heels. And I did not look at half the game. When I saw it was 4-0, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm checking out. Let me just check back in. And then I saw the score change. And then I just really started paying attention. But then I looked at the highlights. And I think we're in a good place. I feel better, but I am not there yet. They have to win this series. But here's something else that is still a concern to me is the top three. I watched Trey have a bad strikeout. This pitcher has been throwing curve. It's kind of like they had a B on the power players. And those three have to be productive. They only had two hits between all three of them, and the bottom of the order is doing all the work. And to me, that is still not a good thing going forward. I don't know if they're sitting down and they're working on these things, but that is my biggest concern going forward. The pitching, it seems like it's coming around, but those guys have got to get going, and it's still a problem.
Well, they got to wake up. I mean, I'll even point to the bunt that Bryce Harper had late in the game. When Bryce is bunting, you know he doesn't feel comfortable with the plate because, you know, let's just be real. He's not paid to bunt. I mean, that's not why that he's here. It's not why he's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. I get it if he thought he could, you know, maybe drop one down and get an easy hit if he saw the defense back. But that struck me as Bryce is not bunting if he's feeling confident at the plate.
No, and I couldn't agree more. And actually, you know why you bringing that up? There was another situation. I'm sorry, I just don't recall. But I think somebody got a double. It was late in the game. This was I think in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no outs. It may have been Hayes or somebody that was at the plate. And I was like, look, all you got to do is just put the ball down, bunt, and move. Get the guy to third. We'll have one out. And they were up 5-4. I believe it was in the bottom of the eighth.
It was the Marsh double, and then Hayes grounded out to shortstop, and they couldn't move the runner over. Yeah.
So those are the kinds of new ones. Those types of things. Like, look, it's okay to bunt sometimes. It just drives me crazy that they don't think about that. And Topper's got to get it together because you never know how that turns out. It could have been another run. So They still have work to do. I mean, it was a nice victory. I'm glad they won. But they have to be clicking on all heels, even from a strategic standpoint, as they move forward, because the top three is still not producing. So we have to get runs and be creative in every way possible. So I'm hoping to see some of that, you know, going forward. And one other quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the other pitcher that we have, I don't remember his last name. Are they going to bring him up?
Tyler Phillips.
I like him.
Yeah, I think Phillips or Kobe Allard is going to take the spot that Taiwan is now out of. I'm not sure which one it's going to be. I like the way Allard's pitched, but Phillips was up here for a little bit, and he gave some good innings too.
Yeah. And I think we'll be okay with those guys just toe the line going forward. But look, I'm still happy. I'm cautiously happy. Let's go ahead and do this thing. Let's do this thing, Phillies.
Let's bury the Braves, Bruce. Appreciate it. Yeah, that eighth inning. So Hayes, it was the double by Marsh to start the inning. Hayes grounds out to short. Then Marsh tried to take third on the throw to first, and he got picked off there, too. So they were out of that inning without getting the insurance run. But it was all right last night. Part of me feels like we're being a little, I don't know what the word is, hard on the Phillies. It's like,
Seriously?
Well, no, sir. Yeah. What more do they have to do to regain your trust?
Well, it's one of those things. We don't want to live. There's a lot going on here, Joe. And this is how I look at it. I feel like part of it is we're still suffering from, and I'll throw the Flyers in there. The way the Flyers collapsed at the end of the season, especially the way the Eagles collapsed at the end of the season. And what we saw from last year's playoff series with Arizona Diamondbacks. Like, that's all of that's in play. And we see that, and a lot of people are trying to just avoid heartache.
I know, certain patterns, it's a little soft.
Yeah, but it's what we do as baseball fans. We sit here every day, and I throw myself in that, and we are on an emotional roller coaster ride when it comes to this team, because last week we were having conversations about whether or not they're going to make it to the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, some people called in this week talking about they might not make it to the playoffs. That's just the emotional roller coaster ride that you're on as a baseball fan. But I'll tell you this. When I see Castellanos coming to the podium or speaking in front of his locker at the end of a game, especially when he's had a good game and see the confidence that he's had, I feel better about that. You know why? Even though he hasn't been hitting great. He's been hitting great in the last couple of months, but he didn't start out that way. The thing that makes me feel comfortable is that no matter what was going on, he believed in himself. And he stayed out there consistently. Yep. Until he started to hit. So I look at that, and it's funny, and I always compare to Clifford Franklin from The Replacements. But watching him now in those press conferences, I feel better about the squad because I feel like right now he's a reflection of how they feel.
Yeah, I feel like, Kyle, people are being a little too hard or a little too reluctant to jump back in and trust them again. Like, so I'm looking at the poll earlier today on the show poll, and more than 50% have not regained trust in the Phillies. I'm just not sure how much more you want them to do. They're 10-5 their last 15. Three of those losses are by Taijuan Walker. Like, we could see it with our eyes. They're closer to playing the way they did at the beginning of the year. And the reality is they are 79-55. They're a really good baseball team.
I agree. So I think if I had to put myself into the mind of one of the people who are voting no, they haven't regained the trust, it's probably coming down to the Harper, Turner, Schwarber, you know, the top of the order. Like, let's face it. Last night our offense came from really the middle to the bottom of the lineup, and it has been for quite a bit now. So I think some people are just a little bit hesitant to say, like, because they're aware of what the reality of the offense is, that they're a really streaky team. And if they go cold, then, you know, we know how bad that can look. So I just think it's been too prolonged of a period of that hurting us and for people being hurt by that and let down by that, that they're a little bit hesitant to jump back.
It has, and I get all that. I'm just looking at a team that has had one losing month the entire season. That's it. It was just the month of July. You know that they're actually going to finish August with a winning record? Despite how many times in August we felt like we were to jump off ship, they have a winning record in August. They had a winning record in June, a great record in May, great record in April. They had one month where they were under 500. That's the month of July. And I actually view the way it's been lately as a positive. Because at some point I believe Schwarber and Harper are going to hit.
No,
right?
They are.
And Turner hopefully will heat back up one more time. I mean, I worry about him. But if they're getting contributions from the middle and the bottom, that to me is a major thing as we enter October, because those are the guys you're not sure about. Now, if Marsh is back to hitting and Stott's back, then it's a pretty deep lineup altogether.
And this is the thing, because we're worried about the cold bats in the postseason, because it's unfortunate that has been the case the last couple of series that we've been in. Like, the bats have been cold, and everybody went cold at the same time, and I look at it like this. I feel good about where Castellanos is right now. And you know the other guys are going to come around. But the pitching right now is getting back to what it was. And I think that's going to be the cornerstone of this team at this point.
You feel good about where Castellanos is? Good enough to maybe apologize to him?
I'm not apologizing.
For how hard you were earlier this season?
You're asking me to apologize to a man for doing his job. He's doing his job.
No, it's not about that. It's about how we treated him.
Well, technically, if I'm guilty of anything, well, association, mm-hmm. obviously.
You stood by as callers beat him up.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because I just sat by and just let it, kind of happen.
But it's not just me. Like, it's one thing to let me cook. You let caller after caller say Cassianos, and you could have stepped up and said, "No, you're being too hard on Nick."
Because I like to see that. Like, uh-huh. like you know what I mean? Every now and then, I like to see when Joel comes out. Like, Joel came out yesterday. I kind of sat there and just kind of watched it.
Well, Joel comes out when nonsense
arrives. I do. It's kind of what I do, you know?
The glasses came off. He wiped the sweat from his brow.
When the glasses come off, I'm really just exasperated.
When he stands up and he puts... Like, he grabs his brow like, "Lord, give me Christmas."
I'm asking for help from above. All right, 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
All right. Hey, listen, it's rare that I hear you go off for anybody, man. And it's just, I just can't picture you doing that, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, I enjoyed last night's game, man. And you know, my thing is this with Harper and Schwarber, right? Let's not, you don't have to hit the big one. Let's just hit, man. Because I think they just reaching to try and knock it out the park. Just get back to the basics, man. Just help the team, man. Just help the team. Just get a hit. Get on base and let whoever else clean up. You ain't always got to be the cleanup guys. You ain't always got to be the one that hit it out the park. Let's just help the team and take accountability for one another now, man. Because guess what? We all in now, man. We all in. It's now or never. And I hope y'all saying that to one another every game. It's now or never. So I think our time is now, man. You know, and I just want to say, man, Cassianos, he worked hard at what he's doing now, man. And that's why, like I say, I know the GM and the owner, they know their players, man. And they felt something with Cassianos. That's why they kept him in. And, you know, the team is starting to gel together again, man. And I'm loving what I'm seeing. And like I said, I'm not taking my eyes off the prize. I'm predicting, and I've been predicting. I said when I go to the game with y'all, we're going back to the World Series, and this time we're going to win.
I know. You, and, Will, you didn't just say that. You said Castellanos is going to get the walk-off hit to win the World Series.
You did say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not going to take that away either. You know what I'm saying? But I love what I saw last night, man. I saw a fight, not giving up, and that's what I need every game.
It was a great night. It really, you know, the comeback, to hold him down, and really that's got to put a big... It's got to put a big dent in the Braves, and they needed to come in here and win at least 3 out of 4, if not sweep, and now they got the first one against them. All right, Will. Finish it. All right, Will, us a food from a different state for us to try.
Oh, man, I wasn't really thinking about that. I'm going to just go, how about some Louisiana gumbo?
Louisiana. It's a classic one. Louisiana gumbo. Will, we appreciate the call. Have you ever had Louisiana gumbo?
I've had gumbo. Everybody
in
can't
Louisiana
make gumbo.
Or just
no, my cousin from Texas.
Okay,
like her gumbo was banging. You know, it's funny because it all depends on where you get your gumbo because everybody doesn't know how to make it because it's a certain sausage. I think it's called Boudin, where like if it's not made with real Boudin sausage,
doesn't count.
It doesn't count, and it's hard to get Boudin sausage from anywhere but Louisiana. Like you got to go down south to get it. You have to get the real Boudin sausage, so yeah.
Gumbo feel like, I mean, you could obviously make it yourself if you want, but gumbo feels like one of those things where if you're out and you're not in the South or Louisiana.
It's not hidden right.
I think it's like that with a lot of things.
It's like that with cheesesteak. Like, if you get a cheesesteak from somewhere else, man, it's not, I don't, like, there's been cheesesteak shops in Atlanta that they say authentic Philly cheesesteak.
It's not the same.
No disrespect to those sandwich shops that I've been to. It's just, I think mostly it has to do with the setting. In the city and all of that other ambiance because no matter what, you could probably take the recipe where you're going, but you can't take that ambiance with you.
Well, the other thing, so specifically to the cheesesteak, it's part of it here is the bread. It's the roll.
Yeah.
And it's just other places, I don't know if there's people have really figured out why, but just the bread is different. Maybe it's the water here, how it's made. I don't know. But the bread, that's a huge part of a hoagie or obviously a cheesesteak, and this is what you're talking about, is the roll.
It's everything.
And if you don't have that, the basic premise of the sandwich isn't that difficult to figure out. It's steak and cheese. Like, sure. That should be you could be able to do that anywhere. But
it's kind of like how in New York the dough.
Yeah, the
like
bagels.
The dough's different.
Bagels,
yep,
pizza.
Correct.
It's just a little bit different. Jeff in Wilmington, what's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, real quick. July for the Phillies for us was like, you know that meme or what's the video where the martial arts where the one guy's just kicking the other guy in the nads? Like,
that's a great one. Yeah,
you got to toughen up and be able to take that. That's basically what it boils down to. The pitching has been great, except for the month of July when it was good. Except the hitters were terrible in the month of July. And I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, I don't think anybody can complain other than Taiwan Walker, where we've beaten him like, you know, a rented mule. You know, the pitching has been really good all year. And I think the first three guys in the lineup, Harper and Turner and those guys, when they get in a funk, they really grind, like turning the bat into sawdust. I think they just try so hard that it just totally takes them out of their game. And hopefully these home runs by Castellanos and Marsh last night will kind of ease the pressure on them a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the depth of the lineup, which at times this year hasn't felt very deep, it looks deep again now, right? Like with Marsh coming back to respectability, and obviously Castellanos, you know, it feels like, all right, they could win some games even when Harper and Turner and Schwarber are quiet.
I have a try day, but before I get to that, why do we always end up struggling against 40-year-old pitcher or a rookie?
I don't know.
I think that's the most frustrating thing of all this year, that we seem to struggle against the guys that they shouldn't even be in the game after the third inning.
Well, how about last year when Brandon Pfaadt, who's now developed into a nice pitcher, but he was a rookie last year with like a 5 ERA, and he just carved him up.
Yep. All right. So my try day, since I'm in Ohio today, I've had this before. You probably knows this, but Skyline Chili, specifically a three-way, which is spaghetti.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Yeah, spaghetti, chili, and shredded cheese. But the chili out here is different than it is back home. It's a little darker. It's hard to explain, but it's really good.
All right, some Skyline Chili.
You like the Skyline Chili? Like, you know, it's funny.
Jeff, appreciate it.
We were talking about that this morning. And I'm from Ohio, and I am not impressed with Skyline Chili.
Now, all right,
it's a Cincinnati thing, too.
Do you like chili to begin with, and you don't like the Skyline,
anti-chili? I like chili. I just don't like Skyline Chili. Skyline chili, like, people come from all over to get that Sky. I'm not a fan.
It is a unique dish. Like, it's one of those things where it's a combination that, other than there, like, you would never even think of putting that together, but it is pretty popular. I've never had it. Skyline Chili for a Tri-Day Friday. We're looking for a food from a different state we should try. So we got the Louisiana Gumbo Skyline Chili. Best answer we get today wins the prize, which is a pair of tickets to the Eagles season kickoff watch party next Friday night at Lincoln Financial Food. 215-592-9494. We'll keep your phone calls going on the Phillies here. Have they regained your trust? They have. For me, because the starting pitching, other than Taiwan, and he doesn't even count anymore because they moved him to the bullpen. It's finally over. Our nightmare is over with Taiwan Walker. The starting pitch has been good. The bullpen has settled back in, and the lineup just looks deeper now with Marsh hitting, with Castellanos hitting, and I do think the top of the order is going to come alive. 215-592-9494. Plus, we come back. Something we discussed yesterday, really, the more I thought about it and the more I heard it, it started bothering me more. We'll dive back into something big that occurred on WIP yesterday, what we now think of it 24 hours after we first discussed it. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show on a Tri-Day Friday on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
popped him up, and then wind blew it out.
Brian Snicker last night after the game, after the decision to leave Charlie Morton in, certainly helped the Phillies. Brandon Marsh with the home run. Phillies back in the game. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. We'll tell you here in a minute about our prize we're giving away today and how we're going to play on this Friday. But, Hugh, I was surprised last night. Snicker, he was a part of letting the Phillies get back in that game. So that moment in the sixth inning, you have Charlie Morton at about 100 pitches. He had some success earlier in the game against Marsh, but it's his third time through the order. Mm-hmm. We know Marsh can hit lefties. Like, he's bad at it. Mm-hmm. They have a lefty warming in the bullpen, and he let Charlie Morton continue to go there. Now, the Phillies did have Hayes on deck, and Hayes does hit lefties, so maybe he was worried about that. I don't know. I just, when they let Morton stay in that game, I almost thought he gave the Phillies an opening to come back in that game last night.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that. And I know a lot of people in Atlanta, they're a little bit upset about that. You know, I still have some friends down there, and they were kind of upset about the fact that was the case, especially when you talk about, you know, Marsh's inability to hit those lefties. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, hey, man, it's one of those things when you're a manager, because we've seen it with Topper. He's done things in times where we didn't feel like it was the right move to make.
Swallow it, you know, and eat it.
Yeah, you just get caught out there like that.
Well, he did get caught, and the Phillies took advantage of it. And now they have a chance this weekend to bury the Atlanta Braves. 6 up. With 28 to play, 3 this weekend. 215-592-9494. Have the Phillies regained your trust? They have for me. The pitching, the bullpen, the middle and the bottom of the order, it's all there. Now all we got to do over this next month is get that top of the order get going again with Schwarber and Turner and Harper. And then we'll roll into the playoffs. 215-592-9494. All right, before we get back to the phone lines here, you know what today is, right?
What Friday.
Day? It's a Friday, which means it's a try day. Let's hit it.
It's a Tri-Day Friday.
It's Tri-Day, Tri-Day, Hugh and Joe on Fridays.
All right, we got a great prize today. 1 week from tonight, we're going to be at Lincoln Financial Field for the Eagles-Packers game number one. We'll do the pregame show there, and then we're going to watch the game. You can watch the game on from the stadium seats on the big screen. And we have a pair of tickets today to give away to the Eagles' official season kickoff watch party presented by Bud Light at Lincoln Financial Field Friday, December 6th. Kick off the NFL season with us at the Link next Friday. Pair of tickets to give away. All right, it's a Tri-Day Friday, and we found out Kyle's going down to Virginia this weekend. So why don't we do this? How about we make it a food?
West Virginia, Mountain Mama.
No, just regular Virginia.
Oh, that's no fun.
Why?
Well, Virginia,
I'd rather go to Virginia than West Virginia. What's West Virginia? There's nothing in West Virginia.
No, Virginia has some nice mountains.
You know what's funny? We're in a meeting. And he said,
Virginia.
We're going to Virginia.
And you decided it was West Virginia?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because you don't remember, Kyle. I said, yeah, that's because it's right beside Ohio.
And I was thinking,
you didn't pick up on that?
No,
because I was thinking of West Virginia.
Bad geography.
And that's when I said, hey, go to the mountains.
No, but Virginia has mountains as well.
No, but I was thinking, but see, when he said it, I was thinking, again, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I was thinking West Virginia the whole time.
I've been to both. They're nice states.
Virginia's okay, but West Virginia is better.
A quick tangent. I didn't realize you were a mountains guy, Hugh.
No, listen. I've had
a lot
of...
Well, we know he's not a water guy, right? We know that.
No,
like, Hugh also doesn't like the woods. Like, I just don't...
I don't mind the wood. Like,
if you're in a cabin in the woods, you're not walking around in the woods.
At one point, when I was looking for a home in Georgia, I was going to move to the Georgia mountains, but... The only thing that kept me from going is because, number one, I worked in the city way too early. So that means I would have to probably get up at like 2:00 in the morning.
That's a lot.
Just to get to work on time. Because it was like an hour and a half away from the city. But man, like some of the homes in the mountains in Georgia, like, because, you know, it all depends on which way you go. You can go to ones towards Tennessee or you can go to ones in like North Georgia or whatever. But man, I really thought about that. I don't mind, like, the two things that right now at my age, I really don't care about, and one of them is like my personal appearance.
Well,
like
you were raving about buying new pajamas.
Buying some pajamas, yeah. Like I am real. I'm at that age now. Where I'm kind of comfortable, like where I am.
Yeah, you letting the bald spot grow?
Getting the bald spot grow back in. So I'm just kind of like, you know. And yeah, I thought about moving to the mountains.
So you're good with being in the woods as long as you're inside.
Yes, as long as I'm inside. As long as I'm inside.
Couldn't we
indoors.
Say something about going to the beach? Just stay away from the
I'm
water.
Staying. I'm not going to the beach, man. I'm not going.
All right. So today for Tri-Day, it's not about the mountains. Actually, it's about going to food from another state. So Tri-Day, food from another state. You've been there. You've heard about it. A food from another state we should try at some point in our travels. Kyle's going to be in Virginia this weekend. You know, obviously, if people are coming to this area, you're going to tell them to try the different things around here. Cheesesteaks. Yeah, would be probably the biggest one. But there's also a lot of great restaurants. But Tri-Day, food from another state. Kyle's going to be in Virginia, not West Virginia, Virginia this weekend. But, yeah, it's all the same. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Bruce in D.C., who's not in a state. He's in a district, but it's all the same. What's up, Bruce?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you? How's everybody
What's going
doing?
On
hey,
this?
Bruce.
All right. Yeah, so look, man, it's so gloomy today. I guess we're getting ready for that foreign weather, man.
I'm ready for it.
Hugh's got pajamas. He's talking about going to the mountains.
I just bought some new slippers, too. I bought some that I can wear to work. They don't look like slippers.
Nice.
Then they're shoes. Nice. They're shoes.
Slippers well, they're kind of like Crocs.
Okay. I'm not sure they're slippers, then.
Yeah, well, I called them.
Okay, that's all right. All right, so go ahead, Bruce.
All right, good deal. Yeah, so look, it was a nice win last night. Look, I've been one of those ones. I could not, you know, because of everything that's been going on with them. It just really just stresses me out, especially when they're not clicking on all heels. And I did not look at half the game. When I saw it was 4-0, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm checking out. Let me just check back in. And then I saw the score change. And then I just really started paying attention. But then I looked at the highlights. And I think we're in a good place. I feel better, but I am not there yet. They have to win this series. And but here's something else that is still a concern to me is the top three. I watched Trey have a bad strikeout. This pitcher has been throwing curveballs. It's kind of like they had a B on the power players. And those three have still have to be productive. They only had two hits between all three of them, and the bottom of the order is doing all the work. And to me, that is still not a good thing going forward. I don't know if they're sitting down and they're working on these things, but that is my biggest concern going forward. The pitching, it seems like it's coming around, but those guys have got to get going, and it's still a problem.
Well, they got to wake up. I mean, I'll even point to the bunt that Bryce Harper had late in the game. When Bryce is bunting, you know he doesn't feel comfortable with the plate because, you know, let's just be real. He's not paid to bunt. I mean, that's not why he's here. It's not why he's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. I get it if he thought he could, you know, maybe drop one down and get an easy hit if he saw the defense back. But that struck me as Bryce is not bunting if he's feeling confident at the plate.
No, and I couldn't agree more. And actually, you know why you bringing that up? There was another situation. I'm sorry, I just don't recall the play. I think somebody got a double. It was late in the game. This was I think in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no outs. It may have been Hayes or somebody that was at the plate. And I was like, look, all you got to do is just put the ball down, bunt, and move. Get the guy to third. We'll have one out. And they were up 5-4. I believe it was in the bottom.
It was the Marsh double, and then Hayes grounded out to shortstop, and they couldn't move the runner over. Yeah.
And so those are the kinds of new ones. Those types of things. Like, look, it's okay to bunt sometimes. It just drives me crazy that they don't think about that. And Topper's got to get it together because you never know how that turns out. It could have been another run. So they still have work to do. I mean, it was a nice victory. I'm glad they won, but they have to be clicking on all heels, even from a strategic standpoint, as they move forward, because the top three is still not producing. So we have to get runs and be creative in every way possible. So I'm hoping to see some of that, you know, going forward. And one other quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the other pitcher that we have, I don't remember his last name. Are they going to bring him up?
Tyler Phillips.
Phillips,
yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, I think Phillips or Kobe Allard's going to take the spot that Taiwan is now out of. I'm not sure which one it's going to be. I like the way Allard's pitched, but Phillips was up here for a little bit, and he gave some good innings too.
Yeah. And I think we'll be okay with those guys. Just toe the line going forward. But look, I'm still happy.
I'm cautiously happy. Let's go ahead and do this thing. Let's do this thing, Phillies.
Let's bury the Braves, Bruce. Appreciate it. Yeah, that eighth inning. So Hayes, it was the double by Marsh to start the inning. Hayes grounds out to short. And then Marsh tried to take third on the throw to first, and he got picked off there, too. So they were out of that inning without getting the insurance run. But it was all right last night. Part of me feels like we're being a little, I don't know what the word is, hard on the Phillies. It's like, what more?
Seriously?
Well, no, sir. Yeah. What more do they have to do to regain your trust?
Well, it's one of those things. We don't want to live. There's a lot going on here, Joe. And this is how I look at it. I feel like part of it is we're still suffering from, and I'll throw the Flyers in there. The way the Flyers collapsed at the end of the season, especially the way the Eagles collapsed at the end of the season. And what we saw from last year's playoff series with Arizona Diamondbacks. Like, that's all of that's in play. And we see that, and a lot of people are trying to just avoid heartache.
I know. You see certain patterns. It's a little soft.
Yeah, but it's what we do as baseball fans. We sit here every day, and I throw myself in that, and we are on an emotional roller coaster ride when it comes to this team, because last week we were having conversations about whether or not they're going to make it to the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, some people called in this week talking about they might not make it to the playoffs. That's just the emotional roller coaster ride that you're on as a baseball fan. But I'll tell you this. When I see Castellanos coming to the podium or speaking in front of his locker at the end of a game, especially when he's had a good game and see the confidence that he's had, I feel better about that. You know why? Even though he hasn't been hitting great. He's been hitting great in the last couple of months, but he didn't start out that way. The thing that makes me feel comfortable is that no matter what was going on, he believed in himself. And he stayed out there consistently. Yep. Until he started to hit. So I look at that, and it's funny, and I compare to Clifford Franklin from The Replacements. But watching him now in those press conferences, I feel better about the squad because I feel like right now he's a reflection of how they feel.
Yeah, I feel like, Kyle, people are being a little too hard or a little too reluctant to jump back in and trust them again. Like, so I'm looking at the poll earlier today on the show poll, and more than 50% have not regained trust in the Phillies. I'm just not sure how much more you want them to do. They're 10-5 their last 15. Three of those losses are by Taijuan Walker. Like, we could see it with our eyes. They're closer to playing the way they did at the beginning of the year. And the reality is they are 79-55. They're a really good baseball team.
I agree. So I think if I had to put myself into the mind of one of the people who are voting no, they haven't regained the trust, it's probably coming down to the Harper, Turner, Schwarber, you know, the top of the order. Like, let's face it. Last night our offense came from really the middle to the bottom of the lineup. And it has been for quite a bit now. So I think some people are just a little bit hesitant to say, like, because they're aware of what the reality of the offense is, that they're a really streaky team. And if they go cold, then, you know, we know how bad that can look. So I just think it's been too prolonged of a period of that hurting us and for people being hurt by that and let down by that, that they're a little bit hesitant to jump back.
It has, and I get all that. I'm just looking at a team that has had one losing month the entire season. That's it. It was just the month of July. You know that they're actually going to finish August with a winning record? Despite how many times in August we felt like we were to jump off ship, they have a winning record in August. They had a winning record in June, a great record in May, great record in April. They had one month where they were under 500. That's the month of July. And I actually view the way it's been lately as a positive. Because at some point I believe Schwarber and Harper are going to hit.
No,
right?
They are.
And Turner hopefully will heat back up one more time. I mean, I worry about him. But if they're getting contributions from the middle and the bottom, that to me is a major thing as we enter October, because those are the guys you're not sure about. Now, if Marsh is back to hitting and Stott's back, then it's a pretty deep lineup altogether.
And this is the thing, because we're worried about the cold bats in the postseason, because it's unfortunate that that has been the case the last couple of series that we've been in. Like, the bats have been cold, and everybody went cold at the same time, and I look at it like this. I feel good about where Castellanos is right now. And you know the other guys are going to come around. But the pitching right now is getting back to what it was. And I think that's going to be the cornerstone of this team at this point.
You feel good about where Castellanos is? Good enough to maybe apologize to him?
I'm not apologizing.
For how hard you were earlier this season?
You're asking me to apologize to a man for doing his job. He's doing his job.
No, it's not about that. It's about how we treated him.
Well, technically, I just if I'm guilty of anything... Well, association, obviously.
You stood by his callers, beat him up.
What's that supposed to mean?
because I just sat by and just let it. I just let it kind of happen.
But it's not just me. Like, it's one thing to let me cook. You let caller after caller say Cassianos, and you could have stepped up and said, "No, you're being too hard on Nick."
Because I like to see that. Like, you know what I mean? Every now and then, I like to see when Joel comes out. Like, Joel came out yesterday. I kind of sat there and just kind of watched it.
Well, Joel comes out when nonsense arrives.
It's kind of what I do, you know?
The glasses came off. He wiped the sweat from his brow.
When the glasses come off, I'm really just exasperated.
When he stands up and he puts... Like, he grabs his brow like, Lord, give me Christmas.
I'm asking for help from above. All right, 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
All right. Hey, listen, it's rare that I hear you go off for anybody, man. And it's just, I just can't picture you doing that, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, I enjoyed last night's game, man. And you know, my thing is this with Harper and Schwarber, right? Let's not – you don't have to hit the big one. Let's just hit, man. Because I think they're just reaching to try and knock it out the park. Just get back to the basics, man. Just help the team, man. Just help the team. Just get a hit. Get on base and let whoever else clean up. You ain't always got to be the cleanup guys. You ain't always got to be the one that hit it out the park. Let's just help the team and take accountability for one another now, man. Because guess what? We all in now, man. We all in. It's now or never. And I hope y'all saying that to one another every game. It's now or never. So I think our time is now, man. You know, and I just want to say, man, Cassianos, he worked hard at what he's doing now, man. And that's why, like I say, I know the GM and the owner, they know their players, man. And they felt something with Cassianos. That's why they kept him in. And, you know, the team is starting to gel together again, man. And I'm loving what I'm seeing. And like I said, I'm not taking my eyes off the prize. I'm predicting, and I've been predicting. I said when I go to the game with y'all, we're going back to the World Series, and this time we're going to win.
I know you, and Will, you didn't just say that. You said Castellanos is going to get the walk-off hit to win the World Series.
You did say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not going to take that away either. You know what I'm saying? But I love what I saw last night, man. I saw a fight, not giving up, and that's what I need every game.
It was a great night. It really, you know, the comeback to hold him down, and really that's got to put a big dent in the Braves, and they needed to come in here and win at least 3 out of 4, if not sweep. And now they got the first one against them. All right, Will, finish it. All right, Will, give us a food from a different state for us to try.
Oh man, I wasn't really thinking about that. I'm gonna just go. How about some Louisiana gumbo.
Louisiana. I mean, it's a classic one. Louisiana gumbo. Will, we appreciate the call. Have you ever had Louisiana gumbo?
I've had gumbo. Everybody
in
can't
Louisiana
make gumbo.
Or just
no?
Nah,
my cousin from Texas.
Okay,
like her gumbo was banging. You know, it's funny because it all depends on where you get your gumbo because everybody doesn't know how to make it because it's a certain sausage. I think it's called Boudin. Where like if it's not made with real Boudin sausage.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't count. And it's hard to get Boudin sausage from anywhere but Louisiana. Like, you got to go down south to get it. You have to get the real Boudin sausage. So, yeah.
Gumbo feel like, I mean, you could obviously make it yourself if you want, but gumbo feels like one of those things where if you're out and you're not in the south or Louisiana,
it's not hitting right.
I think it's like that with a lot of things.
It's like that with cheesesteak. Like, if you get a cheesesteak from somewhere else, man, it's not, I don't, like, there's been cheesesteak shops in Atlanta that they say authentic Philly cheesesteak.
It's not the same.
No disrespect to those sandwich shops that I've been to. It's just, I think mostly it has to do with the setting in the city and all of that other ambiance because no matter what, you could probably take the recipe where you're going, but you can't take that ambiance with you.
Well, the other thing, so specifically to the cheesesteak, it's part of it here is the bread. It's the roll.
Yeah.
And it's just other places, I don't know if there's people have really figured out why, but just the bread is different. Maybe it's the water here, how it's made. I don't know. But the bread, that's a huge part of a hoagie or obviously a cheesesteak, and this is what you're talking about, is the roll.
It's everything.
And if you don't have that, the basic premise of the sandwich isn't that difficult to figure out. It's steak and cheese. Like, that should be, you could be able to do that anywhere, but it's that roll.
It's kind of like how in New York the The dough.
Yeah, the like bagels.
The dough's different.
Bagels, yep. Pizza.
Correct.
It's just a little bit different. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, real quick. July for the Phillies for us was like, you know that meme or what's the video where the martial arts where the one guy's just kicking the other guy in the nads? Like,
that's a great one, yeah.
You got to toughen up and be able to take that. That's basically what it boils down to. The pitching has been great, except for the month of July when it was good, except the hitters were terrible in the month of July. And that, I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, I don't think anybody can complain other than Taijuan Walker, where we've beaten him like, you know, a rented mule. You know, the pitching has been really good all year. And I think the first three guys in the lineup, Harper and Turner and those guys, when they get in a funk, they really grind like turning the bat into sawdust. I think they just try so hard that it just totally takes them out of their game. And hopefully these home runs by Castellanos and Marsh last night will kind of ease the pressure on them a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the depth of the lineup, which at times this year hasn't felt very deep, it looks deep again now, right? Like with Marsh coming back to respectability, and obviously Castellanos, you know, it feels like, all right, they could win some games even when Harper and Turner and Schwarber are quiet.
I have a try, Dave, but before I get to that, why do we always end up struggling against a 40-year-old pitcher or a rookie?
I don't know.
I think that's the most frustrating thing of all this year. We seem to struggle against the guys that they shouldn't even be in the game after the third inning.
Well, how about last year? I mean, Brandon Pfaadt, who's now developed into a nice pitcher, but he was a rookie last year with like a 5 ERA, and he just carved him up.
Yep. All right, so my try-day, since I'm in Ohio today, I've had this before. You probably knows this, but Skyline Chili, specifically a three-way, which is spaghetti.
I'm looking at a three-way.
Yeah, spaghetti, chili, and shredded cheese. But the chili out here is different than it is back home. It's a little darker. It's hard to explain, but it's really good.
All right, some Skyline Chili.
You like the Skyline Chili? Like, you know, it's funny.
Jeff, appreciate it.
Jeff, we were talking about that this morning. And I'm from Ohio, and I am not impressed with Skyline Chili.
Now, all right,
it's a Cincinnati thing, too.
Do you like chili to begin with, and you don't like the Skyline,
anti-chili? I like chili. I just don't like Skyline Chili. Skyline Chili, like, people come from all over to get that Skyline. I'm not a fan.
It is a unique dish. Like, it's one of those things where it's a combination that, other than there, like you would never even think of putting that together. But it is pretty popular. I've never had it. Skyline Chili for a Tri-Day Friday. We're looking for a food from a different state we should try. So we got the Louisiana Gumbo Skyline Chili. Best answer we get today wins the prize, which is a pair of tickets to the Eagles season kickoff watch party next Friday night at Lincoln Financial Food. 215-592-9494. We'll keep your phone calls going on the Phillies here. Have they regained your trust? They have for me, because the starting pitching, other than Taijuan, and he doesn't even count anymore because they moved him to the bullpen. It's finally over. Our nightmare is over with Taijuan Walker. The starting pitch has been good. The bullpen has settled back in. And the lineup just looks deeper now with Marsh hitting, with Castellanos hitting. And I do think the top of the order is going to come alive. 215-592-9494. Plus, we come back. Something we discussed yesterday, really, the more I thought about it and the more I heard it, it started bothering me more. We'll dive back into something big that occurred on WIP yesterday, what we now think of it 24 hours after we first discussed it. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show on a Tri-Day Friday on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.